Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. And we are happy to welcome in Patrick Mooney, covering the Cubs now with The Athletic. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Good morning, Patrick.
Good. How you been, guys?
We are living the dream, and it's interesting to hear Theo Epstein there and consider the many possibilities and the much change. And just Theo in a bad mood after that year, right? Is that fair to say, Patrick, that Theo didn't enjoy that?
I think that might be an understatement. I think there's no doubt about that, and he's cooled down some, certainly, by the GM meetings when we, you know, saw him last week in Southern California. But it wasn't just the last couple games of the season. I think this is something that has been building ever since they won the World Series. This kind of, I don't know, complacency or sense of entitlement and just a feeling that things were a little bit off. It manifested itself in the first half of 2017, and there were certainly spots where you saw it again last year, and that combined with some injuries, some unfortunate free agent decisions from Theo's front office, all put the Cubs in a very weird place, even though they've won more games than any other team in baseball across the last 4 years.
It's been a weird off season so far, Patrick, and I think you wrote a very good column in The Athletic most recently, taking us back to California and Theo talking to a group of reporters, and Bruce asked him about Bruce Levine asked him about being Vince Lombardi and winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, and he resisted that a little bit. And then he talked about how, I think his direct quote was, how pissed off he was after what happened. And since that point, you know, it's been uneven, I think. Can you help us understand better where the Cubs are in relation to the Chris Bryant rumors that came out last week from Buster Olney? And number two, what's going on with Jim Hickey?
I would say that Buster Olney is an extremely plugged in, reliable, dogged reporter. I just had an issue with the way ESPN presented the story. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the way the Cubs are talking about this internally, the way they're communicating otherwise, that this was between a 0% and 1% chance of ever happening this off season. That their posture has kind of been, yeah, sure, you know, we have no untouchables, you know, let's hear what you got, knowing that they had absolutely no plans of moving Chris Bryant this off season. You know, I wrote, I mean, they've had trouble, you know, lining up their perceived value of like Ian Happ, and how is this ever going to happen with, you know, a National League MVP coming off a shoulder injury and a guy with zero off the field, you know, dents to his reputation. So they've known from the moment they drafted him that this is the way Scott Boras operates, that they're going to take him to free agency. They've never had any real hopes or expectations about signing a long-term extension with Chris Bryant. This is always about the 7-year window. That's why they put him in Iowa for whatever it was, 10 days, 8 games, to make sure they had almost 7 full seasons together, and that's how they're operating. And then in terms of Jim Hickey, I was told you know, yesterday that it's still kind of unresolved, and my sense is that it is the Cubs have been very how should I put this?
Clumsy?
Patrick. Purposely vague about this, and which you know, leads me to think that it's not about you know, one pitcher or the pitching staff's performance, that this is connected to something, you know, bigger, and that they've you know, are obviously taking their time on this one, but it's kind of cryptic, mysterious, whatever you want to call it, but I wouldn't necessarily rush to judgment either way on this one.
So he could be back?
I don't know. But it has been such a kind of strange process or an unusual circumstance that I wouldn't want to put it one way or the other, because this is someone who clearly has put a lot of time to the game, who has a lot of respect around the game, and has, you know, built a really nice career. And I, for one, am not really comfortable, you know, putting down a betting line one way or the other. It's just that it's, you know, from what I had heard yesterday, it was still kind of, they're still kind of working through some things.
Bizarre. All right, so we won't ask you to lay odds on how the Cubs will approach the offseason, or who are they going to go after in free agency, but how active do you expect them to be in free agency? And or is this going to be an offseason where it's going to be one of tactical trades and isolated players who are maybe targeted by the Cubs? What do you expect?
Well, from that Chris Bryant story, what they did kind of nail, and what we've written on The Athletic, is just that there is this looming budget crunch, and that Theo is, as we said, pissed off at some of the development of these young hitters, and he knows he doesn't have that much financial wiggle room here. So, you know, when you're kind of boxed in like that, if you're looking for a way out, it might be shedding more salary. It's not shedding Chris Bryant's salary and one of the, you know, most valuable players in the game, but they're going to have to think outside the box, maybe be unconventional, do things that maybe we didn't expect. But the problem with that is almost all of these guys are coming off of down seasons or injuries, which obviously makes it harder. So I think, you know, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado is not, you know, that's not their priority. That's not really on their radar. I think, you know, signing Jesse Chavez might take some creativity because he had such a good year. But I think their number one focus is the bullpen. They would like to add another, you know, good hitter, veteran, professional, experienced hitter to the mix. And I do think you'll see them bring in, you know, a David Ross 2.0, 3.0, some sort of, you know, veteran backup catcher who has a more of a presence in the clubhouse, can spell Wilson Contreras and preserve him over the course of a 162 game season. Those are kind of the three things I'd be looking for this winter.
I'm still trying to figure out why they're in a budget crunch. Is it the money they gave to Yu Darvish? What is it that is preventing them? This is the biggest free agent class that we've seen. Cubs are printing money. Why?
That's a great question. If you have Tom Ricketts on, you could press him on that. But I would say that the Cubs are obviously in a great place financially. I just think that what you are seeing now is the culmination of all these different factors. From these young players are getting, you know, exponentially more expensive through arbitration. There's been, you know, a checkered history with some of these free agents. Obviously, John Lester, Ben Zobrist have been amazing values, but when you stack Hayward, Chatwood, Darvish on top of each other, when the farm system hasn't produced, you know, any, you know, homegrown pitching, they felt like they had to pick up Cole Hamels' $20 million option. All of a sudden, you stack that onto a budget, you know, something that they didn't, you know, really expect to do when they made that trade in the summer, because at that point you still thought maybe Darvish, you know, could be back and be a factor. They needed insurance against that. You have a TV situation that, you know, from my understanding, is nowhere close to being resolved. You have you know, this volatility within the cable TV industry that they don't really know, but they haven't announced any of those plans, so they can't really factor that into the budget yet. And, you know, I will give the Ricketts credit that it took a while. There were some weird stops and starts along the way in the Wrigley Field renovation, but, you know, Theo's stat that he quoted was they put $750 million of private investment into restoring Wrigley Field. So, you know, the Washington Nationals have a weird, quirky ownership group that you never quite know what Scott Boras might do at the ownership level about Bryce Harper. Whereas with the Cubs, you know, they let Theo, you know, run his department. So you're not going to see, you know, Tom Ricketts swooping in at the last minute and saying, we have to sign Bryce Harper. They run it like a business. There are kind of, you know, all these factors at the front of their mind. It just makes it hard to see them, you know, being able to or willing to, you know, give out like the biggest professional contract in North American professional sports.
Before we let you go, Patrick, we had Bruce Levine on earlier. He told us that he'd voted Joe Maddon number one in National League Manager of the Year. Brian Snitker won it. I would have voted for Craig Counsell. How would you have voted?
Yeah, I probably would have gone with Counsell because I still have no idea how they pieced together that pitching staff. I feel like every time the Cubs played the Brewers or there was an Arrieta free agent rumor, I thought, or the trade deadline, I thought for sure the Brewers needed like a sturdy, reliable starting pitcher. And, you know, they somehow pieced it together. And I thought Counsell did an excellent job with that. I thought all three finalists were very good. I wouldn't have given Joe a vote, even though I thought he did maybe his best work as a Cubs manager. That award kind of comes down to expectations going into the season. I thought the Brewers you know, far exceeded at least any of my expectations.
Patrick, thank you. Congratulations on moving to The Athletic, and we look forward to reading you in that wonderful site for a long time. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Patrick Mooney. He, of course, covering the Cubs now for The Athletic, and interesting stuff all the way around there. I mean, when you really stop and think about their postseason experience, the how quickly it ended and where they're at now and the decisions they're trying to figure out, it's a rough one.
Yeah, the future of Jim Hickey is very cryptic.
I'm sure I don't understand it, and I really like Jim Hickey a lot.
Yep.
Southside brethren, you know.
Friend of the show.
Irish guy from the South Side. Come on.
Yeah. You got to like
guys alone.
Most of those guys.
Some of those guys are okay.
Yeah, some of them.
Not. That's just mean-spirited. All right. We're going to shift gears. We'll get back to football. We got a lot of football thoughts. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.